over there.
She did, yeah. She's with Facebook.
Okay, we'll formally start the Oshano Community Service District meeting for Wednesday, May 24th, 2023. And the first thing we have on our agenda is the call to order, a roll call.
Director Austin.
Here.
Director Varney.
Here.
Director Joyce Sennison.
Here.
Vice President Gibson.
Here.
And President Villa.
Here. Next on our agenda, we have the flag salute.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, that will bring us to our agenda review. So could we take a couple of seconds here to do the agenda review and have a motion?
I move that we approve the agenda as presented.
Do you have a second?
I'll second.
Director Austin?
Yes.
President Villa?
Yes.
Director Varney?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sennison?
Yes.
And Vice President Gibson?
Yes.
All right, that brings us to public comment for matters not on the agenda. Again, it's public comment for matters that are not on the agenda. Do we have anyone wishing to? Can you state your name also?
Hi, my name is Jennifer, and I have a business on Pier Avenue. And I noticed that our garbage can was taken off of the south side of Pier Avenue recently by Strand. And there's a lot of garbage that is piling up on the streets because we no longer have that garbage can. I was wondering if we might be able to get that back before the summer. Thank you.
I wonder why that was so.
Good evening. I'm Joe Shacker, Oceano residents. Not often do we get a chance to respond to board meeting comments after things are brought up. I'm referring to the annexation of Oceano. And I have a news clipping from The Sun. The supervisor contended with Oceano crowd and allegations that his annexation suggestion held a hidden agenda. How and when did this suggestion come up? He didn't respond to whether an agenda included something hidden, such as closing the airport. The supervisor stated it's pretty clear what the overwhelming sentiment is in this room, and that there's some community pride, some. This board member commented on Villa's vote, stating that this board member over here, stating that she chose to side with a perspective which negates and ignores the expressed desires of the majority of the community. Majority of the community? Is this the 51% referring to the poll in an article? I'll let you all discuss on what pros and cons were presented and how they were presented. Could it be that sidewalk, curbs, and gutters would then be cheerfully provided by Grover Beach? Did the poll include the Oceano residents could be paying more sales tax? Would residents of Oceano have more or less governing power? Many questions were brought up during the initial meeting. Even this board meeting struggled to come up with any pros. Not many at all, if you came up with any. We didn't hear any in the audience. He and a couple of his shills kept repeating the need to have studies. Win-win, lose-lose, win-lose, lose-win. That's lose-lose, folks. We've been through government studies many times. A study on an annexation would be dead on arrival. I spoke with many of my friends in Grover. None of them were for the annexation. None of them. And it's not just a few. They wondered why would this even be presented. So anyway, I'd just like to give kind of a rebuttal to this board member over here, because we don't often get a chance to do that. Thank you very much.
Okay, any further public comment for those stragglers? We are on public comment for items that are not on the agenda. Can you step up and state your name? And we have 3 minutes for public comment.
My name is Nicholas Pressure, and I live on Beach Street. And I used to be a parliamentarian at school. And what I'm asking is that all of you need to read this book, and you need to go through it, because the next time one of you cut somebody off or invite somebody to open up their mouth and then doesn't let anybody else speak, that's against the rules of Robert's order. And if it continues, I will be inviting the state parliamentarian to this meeting to see how things are run, because what this gentleman is doing is outrageous to our community. And if somehow I could start an investigation on him, I would.
No clapping, please. Or booing. Anyone with public comment, further public comment for items that are not on the agenda?
My name's Christina Casillas, and I'm a long-term resident, my entire life, here in Oceano. I'm not sure if this is on the agenda. Okay, how's that? I'm just wanting to propose the building of senior living facilities here in Oceano, and I'm hoping that we can at least put that on the agenda. And I wanted to just let you know that from research that I've done, that according to the latest census data, the number of people age 62 or older in the county has been steadily increasing over the past few years. And in fact, the population of seniors in the county has increased by 10% since 2010, and this trend is expected to continue in the coming years. So that is why I want Oceano to please address this as soon as possible by considering some low-income housing for seniors. Because, compared to San Luis Obispo, we have, I would say, more need than they, and they have quite a lot more senior housing and low-income housing in just the city of San Luis Obispo. That's what I'm asking. Thank you.
Okay, next on our agenda we have special...
There's still public comment.
Oh, there is? Can you state your name?
Hi, my name is April, and I just wanted to mention, because I know it was mentioned before, that somebody had mentioned a very foul word to Paulding during the last April 26th meeting in the parking lot, and I was actually outside for that, and it was mentioned that there were several people that did it, but there was only one person that did it, and I just want to say it's not condoned by anybody, and it's not okay by any means, but it shouldn't be grouped into a bunch of people. It was one person that did it, and nobody condoned that, so I just wanted to make that clear.
Thank you. Any further public comment?
This is Decker. My name's Sonny, business owner here in Oceano. I just want to know how the Hispanics are going to get this information, because there's a lot of Hispanics here. How are they going to, is someone going to interpret it to them that they're going to know that these meetings happen? Or are you, Mrs. President, what is your take on, and how is that going to happen?
I don't do it bi-monthly, but I try to do at least, a summary of what happens here at the OCSD on a monthly basis on Oceano Unido. That's my Facebook social media that I have here for Oceano. But I don't know that we have the capacity, the monies, to do an interpreter here, and enough people.
Well, are you reaching out to volunteers that would even help? Or are you doing anything?
That's a great idea.
I know. I'm asking you. Are you doing anything?
I am, but I haven't asked for help. I should.
I would love to help you get these people so we could do it These people need to be here. Just look, there's no Hispanics here. There's no one that speaks Spanish here. So I don't think they even know what's going on. I'm just asking for
like
your help.
Like I said, they probably don't, but if they were to come here, it would be difficult because we don't have an interpreter.
Okay. Would that be awesome if you could make something happen?
All right. Thank you. So now we have special presentation and reports. Do we have the, are we going to do the presentation for?
So it looks like Commander Scott and Chief Lieberman are not here, so it would be next our utility system manager.
Tony Maraschino.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maraschino, Utility Systems Manager. So for the past couple weeks, we're continuing doing our weekly and monthly samples. We had 6 work orders, 24 USAs, 8 customer service calls, 2 after-hours call-outs. One was for a resident that the water was off. Somebody got inside the meter box and shut off the customer valve. They weren't aware of it. And then the other one was for the fire on Highway 1. Chief Lieberman gave me a call because they had a lot of water they were flowing, and to help our system out, turned on well 8 just to give them an extra 950 gallons a minute. Focusing on sewer jetting, hydrant maintenance, we're still continuing to pick up trash. We had meter reads, and after meter reads, we had high-low consumption, leak notifications, meter replacements, and a few meter boxes that had to be raised, replaced, and concreted in place also. All right, the office lights in the back parking lot are repaired, and you will see probably tonight when we leave that they're working. And we cleaned and detailed all the service trucks this past day. And Lopez is currently at 100%, 100.1% full, still spilling. Any questions?
You said still spilling?
It is, yes. It's at 100.1. So it's spilling, if I remember right, about 7 cubic feet per second. About 49 gallons a minute, or 49 gallons a second.
Yeah, that's a lot of water.
It is.
Too bad we couldn't put a little lake under the spillway and have them.
But it's going downstream on the spillway.
Yeah, we know, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So next we have the OCSD General Manager report, Will Clemens.
Yes, thank you, President Villa. I just wanted to respond to the individual on the Spanish. We do post our agendas in Spanish, so they're available on our website, and they can see what we're discussing. Of course, once they get here, that's another story. So,
how do they know where to go?
Well, I guess neither does any English speaker unless they look us up. So for what it's worth, that we do post in English and Spanish. So it's available to everyone in the community.
Is there a toggle on our website? I forget. I think
yeah, people
is.
Can.
There is, huh?
People can toggle for the
so
whole website to be in Spanish.
I thought I saw that.
And
so they could see what we do.
Correct. So some good news came in this week. The Department of Water Resources awarded a $600,000 grant for our water line projects. That was based on the recommendation of the County Integrated Regional Water Management Group. And the good thing about that is that $600,000 can be used as the match for the $3 million grant that Congressman Carbajal is recommending that we get for our water line. So good news along our water line project funding area. Staff also attended the countywide solid waste orientation that was put on by the IWMA. And that was basically taking everybody in the county that has something to do with garbage. The haulers were there, the composters, and they gave presentations on various programs that IWMA is managing for us. And so it was really informational. It was an excellent way to get together. And the good news also we heard is IWMA is going to be decreasing their fees, I think, by a percentage point. And they indicated that the county has shown interest in rejoining the IWMA. And if that takes place, the fees should be reduced even further. So good news when it comes to our garbage. Also, last week, I met with the Arroyo Grande Creek MOU agencies. So those are a bunch of agencies, including OCSD, that have signed on to an MOU to collaborate on issues that impact Arroyo Grande Creek. So we meet every 3 months, I believe, and talk about various issues and try to coordinate our efforts when it comes to things that impact the creek. Also attended a California Uniform Construction Cost Accounting Commission meeting last week. I serve as one of the commissioners and represent special districts statewide on that commission. And that is the end of my report.
Thank you. Next on our agenda, we have the Board of Directors and Outside Committee reports. And start with myself. I have no report. Vice President Gibson?
Nothing to report.
Director Austin?
Nothing.
Director Joyce Sunnison?
Nothing.
Director Varney?
I presided at the final meeting of the Five Cities Fire Authority and its current configuration of Oceano, OCSD, Oceano, and Grover Beach and Arroyo Grande today. And the new Five Cities Fire Authority, I don't know if it'll keep that name, it'll be a Two Cities Fire Authority. They are working on a new joint powers agreement that will go into effect on July 1st. And at that point, they will be able to enter into a contract with OCSD to provide fire services if that is the option that is chosen. And we need to wait for the county to come in on that as well. But there will be, the Arroyo Grande City Council last night accepted our counter offer in terms of what we would be willing to pay for contracting with them for a year's worth of service at a rate of cost of $1.15 million. They had proposed that we pay a bit more than that amount for 9 months of service. Mr. Clemens countered, based on our direction at our last meeting, with the offer that did go forward, and they accepted that offer, which was good news. So it looks like things are lining up to assure and guarantee fire and emergency medical services in Oceano during the interim period until the county makes its decision and provides that to LAFCO, and then LAFCO makes its decision, which would be expected to happen definitely within the next 12 months. So that's my report on Five Cities Fire Authority.
Well, that's good news. That's good news.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Clemens. I'd like to add two things that on the general manager report, that was very good news too. So, and the fire report, good news. That's all.
Okay. So that brings us to I got confused. I was thinking it was your report. To the consent.
Actually, no.
Special report. Oh, that's right. It was.
Okay. Do you have the pointer? Oh, okay. Great. Okay. I don't want to zap you. So I'm really happy to be able to bring this information to the board and to the community. There have been lots of surveys done in Oceano over the years. None of them have been as sociologically, social scientifically valid. None of them have represented the population of Oceano as accurately as this one did that was done in last year. And it was conducted by Cal Poly City and Regional Planning Graduate Student Program. They have both an undergraduate and graduate program in city and regional planning. That's one of the most popular majors on the campus. The interviews were carried out by graduate students, and many of whom were bilingual and were assisted by bilingual interpreters. The survey was large enough that the results are within a plus or minus 3% range, either could be higher 3% or lower 3%. The community client for the research was the Oceano Community Development Council. It was founded in 2020 and consists of a number of representatives from Oceano residents and businesses. The website is provided there for people that want to get much more in terms of details. So I'm going to move into presenting the research itself, and I'm please just hold your questions until the end. So this was the screenshot of the website logo that Cal Poly developed for the research project. Everything was done bilingually. The survey was door-to-door, and we'll move to the next slide that shows the details here. So based on the statistics of random sampling, which I'm not going to get into, but it's a very sophisticated and detailed process that is used in doing social research. And basically, through random sampling, what we know is that if we have a population of 7,500 people, or let's say 3,000 households, that in order to get an accurate read of what those people in those households are thinking about any given subject matter, we need to interview a certain proportion of them that are selected randomly. And the more that you select, the more accurate your results can be generalized out to the entire community. So in this case, the goal was to interview 10% of the households in the community. In fact, and that would be 256 completed surveys. In this case, 275 surveys were completed, which leads to a 95% confidence level that, and if we this is kind of the explanation. It means if we were to redo this survey, we are 95% confident we would have the same results, that and that those results would fall between 6% above and 6% below the results we were presenting. Is actually, that's kind of a misstatement. It's a 6% margin of error, 3% above or 3% below. So next one, please. Carrie, thank you. There were three different types of questions on here. There was a 5-point scale where people would either answer that they strongly agree, they're undecided, they disagree or strongly disagree. We'll see examples of this as we go on. There's multiple choice questions where they choose from different options, and then there's open-ended questions. And we have, I think, maybe one or two of those. This is, and what I have is a, these are not all of the survey questions that were done. That data is still being finalized, and it's going to be released probably in June by the Oceano Economic Development Council and Cal Poly. Next slide, please. So this is, and I'm sure a lot of you have taken the opportunity to look at this already. It's been up on our website for quite a while as part of the agenda. But I'm going to go over each of these for people that, you know, have not had the opportunity and for the people at home that are watching. So it's really important in terms of, you know, getting a representative sample from the community. And I know a question was asked last week about this survey. It's like, well, what about the Latinos? I mean, are Latinos involved at all? So right off, we see that based on the 2020 census, non-Hispanics are 58% of our community population. The survey included 57%. 57% of the people surveyed, completing the survey, were non-Hispanic, non-Latino. On the other hand, in terms of Latinos represent 42% of the population based on the 2020 census, and they represented 43% of the people responding to the survey. So you can't get any closer than that without being perfect. So this is very close. In terms of sex, the census is 52% male. We've got 51% male responding, and female 48% in the census, 49% responding. And when it comes down to race, they aren't quite as close. And especially with smaller populations, for example, with Asians, they're 10% of the census. They were 2% of the survey. When you're talking about very small populations, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 people can make a difference. And so this is what this is how that part came out. So with this. With the number of people that completed the survey, with the representatives of them, representativeness of that population in the survey, this is why I say this is the most accurate survey ever done in the history of Oceano. Next slide, please. So the slides are all laid out like this. This is the statement up here, and we're opening up with which of the following answers best reflects your opinions about new or additional sidewalks in Oceano? On this particular question, there's 111 Latino respondents and 146 non-Latino respondents. So respondents had the option to say, I don't want to respond to that. I don't want to say anything about it. But most people, you'll see that most people did. So here's the, and most all of the questions, answers we're going to be looking at compare Latino and non-Latino responses. This was not done to, like, be divisive. It was like, oh, look what the Latinos think or what the non-Latinos think. It was really done in order to validate and to show to the entire community what Latinos are thinking and what non-Latinos are thinking so that people feel included. But the big takeaway from this is that, by and large, Latinos and non-Latinos think very similarly about the issues that we're going to be looking at in terms of the questions tonight. So, again, here's this five-point scale, right? Strongly support, somewhat support, neutral, somewhat oppose, strongly oppose. So, my eyes. So it's at like 87% up there, and 60. So 87% of Latinos, they want more sidewalks. 61% of non-Latinos, they want more, strongly want more sidewalks. If we added in the 12% of non-Latinos that somewhat support it, then we appear we're at like 63% to 87%. But so there is some difference here, but both groups, you can see, largely support this. Down here, in terms of people who strongly oppose them, 6% of non-Latinos and 3% of Latinos strongly oppose sidewalks in the community. Next one, please. So up here, it's about what's your opinion about the affordability of houses in the community? Again, very similar. The most common response, very unaffordable. Both Latinos and non-Latinos, very similar there. And then somewhat unaffordable. Actually, the somewhat unaffordable, sort of similar to the people that said they're somewhat affordable. And in terms of very affordable, well, that's a real minority. So people are feeling the challenge of affordable housing in our community. Next one, please, Carrie. In terms of, again, people's opinions about having additional housing in Oceano, large proportion of Latinos looking for more housing, fewer non-Latinos, but still, relatively high. And these two combined of non-Latinos puts this up over into about to 60% of support. And if we add this in here, we've got pushing 80% of support from Latinos. So affordable housing, pretty important to everybody. As we get down to neutral and down in here, the numbers are much lower in terms of, you know, people who oppose having affordable housing. Next one, please. And then people were asked, well, if you did support new housing in Oceano, what do you want to see? See, big 67% want single-family homes. And these could be people who want to rent single-family homes or people who want to buy single-family homes. I mean, I don't know what that is. So single-family homes in high demand. I think this is really important for our community because, and I'm not going to go off on side notes very much in this, but just the other day, I was in a preview of a big study being done by Visit SloCal on the economic impacts of various scenarios for the future of the state park here. And one of the recommendations that they made in two of their scenarios was that Oceano should take a lot more of its single-family houses and turn them into vacation rentals so that tourists have a place to stay. I personally believe that we are approaching a crisis time in our community with single-family homes that are being converted to vacation rentals. And those are single-family homes that nobody will live in as a resident of Oceano anymore. And that has impacts across our community. We see that apartment buildings on the smaller scale, you know, 2 to 4 apartments, are highly prized by folks. Townhomes also, somewhat less so. Larger apartments, somewhat less so. And this is certainly relevant to Oceano, commercial buildings with rentals on top of them. We had a couple of years ago a project proposed across in the vacant lot across from Deltina coffee shop, which was 4 commercial buildings, each of which had 2 one-bedroom apartments on top of it. Those are part of that type of housing is recommended in the community revitalization plan and other studies that have been done in the past. So when the question comes up about is growth going to happen in Oceano? Do people want growth in Oceano? This clearly indicates that people want more housing. They want single family housing. It's a majority, almost a majority position within the community. Next slide, please. Up here we're now looking at what are your opinions about additional new job opportunities in Oceano? Again, look at very large numbers of people say they want more jobs in Oceano. Well, where are those jobs going to come from? To have new jobs, you need to have new businesses, right? If you have new businesses, you need new workers. If you need new workers, you need new housing. And see, these are all kind of like they ping pong off of one another. Going down here for kind of the extremes, very small percentage say that no, that's not at all important, you know, to have more jobs in Oceano. By and large, again, it's important for the large majority of folks. Next one, please. And then going directly to new businesses in Oceano. Again, the support is huge compared to down here, people who don't want any new business, don't want any growth, don't want, you know, any changes. Next, please. Opinions about a new or expanded town center. In terms of this little, I think we got a low battery on the laser, but over here on the right, people saying that that's extremely important. We do have this is a fairly significant difference between Latinos in blue and non-Latinos in orange. In terms of the extremely important, it's more important for Latinos than non-Latinos. But if we go over to the right to the left of it, we can see that for non-Latinos, 31% here and 39% over there. So taking together, it's like, you know, upwards of 60% of non-Latinos want an expanded town center. People who totally oppose it, 17% of Latinos and 11% of non-Latinos. We can go on to the next one. And then if there were to be a new town center for people who were said that they wanted it, what kind of things would they like in it? Well, they'd like more shopping and dining. They'd like more public facilities, you know, plazas, place to have a farmer's market, community cultural facilities. And this is interesting. A Latino cultural center, a youth center, a senior center, a library. Well, we do have a little library in our town. We do have a senior center. We have a community, you know, center. So this, I think, kind of indicates there's, you know, there needs to be more outreach to the community about these facilities and utilization of these. And I hope that that is what our Parks and Recreation committee will be doing more of. So this is, and then you can see other stuff, you know, more sports, more soccer fields are really big. More entertainment and lodging and tourism. So those are the kind of things that came up. That pretty much concludes the presentation. I hope that as a result of this, you have a better sense of what the people in the larger community are looking for in terms of their needs and their wants and what that implies about the future for the community. Thank you.
I had a question, Director Varney. You said, was it the OEDC that sponsored the survey?
I didn't say they sponsored it. I said they were the client.
Okay.
It's a difference. When Cal Poly City and Regional Program does these salons, they call them, I think. It's a term they use for it. They want a client in the community, a community organization that they're doing this on their behalf. For a time, the Oceana Advisory Council was the preferred client for that. A decision was made at the university to have the OEDC be the client, and that was how it moved forward.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify for the public that the district does not have any land use powers. So it's an interesting survey, but it doesn't really affect us because we don't have those kind of powers. And also, I would recommend you look up the OEDC online because if you read that, their title says Oceano creating Oceano Beach as a tourist destination. And basically, they want to develop the airport. So you might want to look into that for yourselves.
Further discussion?
I would encourage people to go to the OEDC website and look at it in detail.
Are we allowed to get up and speak today?
When we're done here.
Okay. I just had a question on, you called it the Oceano Community Development Council. Is it the name change or is it still the
OEDC?
On your presentation you said Oceano Community Development Council. Not Oceano Economic Development.
Sorry, I misspoke. Oceano Economic Development Council.
Okay, I just wanted to
make OEDC.
Sure
OEDC. Sorry, I misspoke.
And then just to a little background, too. I have an email from the founder of the Oceano Economic Development Council, who is not a resident of Oceano, not a property or a business owner. And he states, we're talking about the Oceano Airport. And he's saying to repurpose the airport would mean refunding the FAA $3.2 million in addition to the uphill climb of convincing the Board of Supervisors to repurpose it. So he goes on there looking at similar case studies to see how they were successful in trying to get their airports closed. And then he says, as for the flood zone issue, we've had a flood control planning study done on it and are aware of the grading requirements and estimated cost. We agree it's an uphill climb, but we're looking at the business case, doing all we can to fully address the significant issues, which is the very reason I decided to form the Oceano Economic Development Council and an advisory board after working on this project with Cal Poly. So just for sure that the reason for this was to, you know, to close the airport and try to build it out into big development. That's all I have to say.
Okay. So my closing comments are that I think this was a very professionally done survey that took everybody's, opinions in Oceano, Latinos and Latinos, everyone's opinions into account. And I followed the study, when they were working on it, and I gave my input, feedback, and all that. So I found it that it was, scientifically based, very professionally done. And some of you might be wondering, why are we talking about the airport when we're talking about the survey results, which had to do with sidewalks, housing, and business jobs, which is what the majority, I would say, of people in Oceano want. We want sidewalks. Everybody wants a job close to home because you spend less gas, and it's just time-wise, it's smarter to have, better, but sometimes it can't be done. It gives us an idea of what the community of Oceano wants, not only wants, but needs. And I believe on some of those, with some of those issues, deserves. I am a strong advocate for sidewalks and proper drainage here in Oceano, and I've gone to various meetings with supervisors with SLOCOG, and so we deserve sidewalks. We deserve not to be flooded, every time there's a storm. So it shows you there that Latinos and non-Latinos, we want proper drainage, sidewalks, and housing, and affordable housing. Here in Oceano, we're considered to be a disadvantaged community, and it's for a reason. Not only are we, not that many in population, but we also have, some of the high percentage of low-income individuals that live here and that lack health insurance. And I believe it's because we're basically a very hardworking, and we should be proud of that, but unfortunately, low-income, working-class community. We should be proud, though, that we live in this beautiful town of Oceano. I call it my beautiful beach town of Oceano because that's what it is. So we could take, you could talk to your friends, talk to people in Oceano, and you'll see that they all want that. We don't have the, like Director Austin was saying, and others will agree, we don't have purview to take care of those things, the capacity and the purview to take care of those needs. But we can support it. We can support it. We can write letters of support. You can, yourselves do that. And I've said it time and time again. The community has to unite. There are write to your supervisors, write to your congresspeople, to all your representatives, and say, we need this in Oceano, and we deserve it. President Biden came up with this huge package of infrastructure monies. So Oceano needs it, and we're a coastal town. And what about the sea level rise? There's monies for that too, right? What about climate change? So we don't have the capacity. We as a board, we can vote to support, letters to different agencies that do have funds or, projects that will help Oceano. Thank you. And now I'll open it up to public comment.
So, Nicholas Pressure again, Beach Street. This money that's available for us from President Biden and stuff, all that, where do we get it from? And isn't that your jobs to do that for us? Because you represent, you are the OCSD. You are representing us, so you need to go find that money, right? Responsibility of, okay? Now to this slideshow, I would like to say, could you go back to page 7? How in 275 houses did you get that amount of serve, that percentage of people, did you go out and say the white person lives there, the Spanish person lives there, the Filipino lives there? How is that decided? And then you had Cal Poly do it with one of the biggest studies at Cal Poly. Did those students that come, that came and did that, did they live in Oceano? Did they benefit from it? They live in our community. You're supposed to be looking out for them. They could have had a part-time job doing that. But no, you just gave it to Cal Poly. Did you look and see if any of those students that lived in this community needed work? It's your responsibility. Correct? So how did you come up with those numbers? Who picked the houses that, were they evenly distributed? Were they houses that had no sidewalks and houses that had sidewalks? I want to know the truth. I don't want this graph of some made-up numbers, really pretty chart. I want to know what happened. I want the whole report on how they did this report. Because without, all you're doing up here is spouting, and you're really good at that. So I would like the truth, and I would like it by next meeting. So, and by next meeting, perhaps a report on the money that you're finding from the state, from the federal government, that we can use in Oceano. Thank you very much.
Yes, my name is Kerry Langford, and as I said last time when I was here, I've lived here for 37 years, and I live a couple blocks up here on Crest Street, and I don't know exactly how to start this whole thing off, but I know I have to address the whole board, so I'll do that. I taught at Cal Poly. There's my faculty card, and I taught right across the street from City and Region in Ag Engineering. I taught only for a short time. I was classified more as a lecturer, but I was still faculty there. A little bit towards his comment that Poly's City and Regional Planning is a good program, and I respect what they came up with. It has a lot of questions. My basic that I got from this thing is, I have no idea what that has to do with so much here of a service district, not a planning, not a building, not sewers, not street. This is a service district. Quote, service district. What is a service district? A CSD is authorized to provide a wide variety of services, including water, garbage, collection, wastewater management, security, fire protection, public recreation, street lighting, mosquito abatement, conservation of overhead utilities and underground, library services, ambulance services, and graffiti abatement. I don't know how you guys are going to deal with building houses, truthfully, or trying to bring in... I was in the building business for I don't know how long before I went back to school and went through Poly and graduate school there and all. And this is something that I would have brought to the county to ask them to look at Oceano for further development, more development. You know, we don't have a whole lot of land around here that isn't agriculture. And if you want to knock off agriculture, you're going to start taking the people that are living here right now, and you're going to be shipping them off to somewhere else. So why do you need more housing? And my biggest concern about this is the whole presentation. I heard whites and Latinos. White Latinos. Are we Latino side of Oceano, the white side of Oceano, or are we citizens as one of Oceano? So what this has to really do with, it was informative a little bit, and I...
Your time is up.
Okay, thank you much.
Do we have further public comment?
Hello, my name is Gina. I'm a resident of Oceano. This survey was kind of confusing just because we're here for OCSD things, not building things. So, it was kind of a waste of time, pretty much. And as far as, like, more businesses in the area or the concern of having to travel to work, needing more jobs, we're in the five cities. It's 15, 20 minutes to San Luis. There's all these other towns with businesses that people work at. People work here in Oceano. So it's like we're not L.A. And the other thing is we don't want to be L.A. Sidewalks. I was confused with the way that Varney was presenting when he went for this position. His sign said sidewalks for Oceano. And it just totally threw me off. It was like misrepresentation. It's like, how do you give somebody false hope if aren't we water? Are we sidewalks? Was he getting this position for building and sidewalks? I mean, a lot of people in Oceano, you know, don't have anything against sidewalks, but it just really seems like a waste of time. And it almost looks like a power play and a way to get yourself in for who knows what. Just kind of wondering.
Thank you.
Randall Samabit, Beach Street. Thank you so much for this opportunity to chat, and thank you for the survey to, and yes, we do want sidewalks. That would be not a misnomer. But while I was listening to this, I kept substituting the word candy instead of sidewalks, and we'd end up with the same graph. I feel that it's once again, Oceano is being looked at as a cash cow. We are going to be pillaged once again. We want to inspire hope. And yes, we will look for money for our community. But walk around. See how many cars are at one person's house where they have no sidewalks. 6, 7 cars. Once you put a sidewalk in, how many cars will live there? How many residents will be able to park? Where will they go? If we close off if we don't make more housing, or if we do make more housing, let's say that, where do those residents go? Because now we have single family homes. The world is changing. The idea of a single family is not very possible, especially with our taxes going up every time. I thank you all, and I hope that our service department makes really great decisions and looking out for the future of Oceano. Because again, it is ocean with an O.
Joe Shacker,
Service District.
Thank you for bringing that up. That's very important.
Well, letters are nice. They usually don't go anywhere. Trash can. Pile them up. Write your letters. But we're here for a service district. This survey, that's what I was talking about earlier. It's obvious. Candy is a good... Yeah. Candy would have done the same thing. Who likes it? I don't have curbs, gutters, and sidewalks. If somebody told me, do you want a curb, gutter, and sidewalk? I'd probably take it. But if they put in there, it's going to cost you $10,000, $20,000, because we might not get free money. We might not get that free money. It's given false hopes. It's a false narrative, and you know it. There's another reason. It's the airport. Quit trying to skirt around that. Then the race issue. Look what you did, obviously. You're dividing Latino and whites. That's what's going on in the trend today. You see it on the news every day. Race, 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 race. And you're attributing to that, you specifically. I'd like to hear your comment on that, why you had to divide it white and Latino. Did you think about what you were doing? People are doing this. Bud Light did it. Target's doing it. Look what you're doing. The same thing. Thank you.
Any further public comment?
Okay, I'd like to respond briefly. The Latino and non-Latino distinction was not mine. This is how the data was presented from Cal Poly. As I said in the opening, this was done, I believe, to demonstrate that Latino voices are represented and heard and designated in the results. I know that there are other slides that combine everybody into one group. And probably if those were there would have been questions like, well, where are the Latinos? What did Latinos think? You know, why do we just have them mixed up? So it's kind of damned if you do, damned if you don't. There's certainly no intention to divide. And I made that clear when I began my presentation. This is simply information on what our community says they want more of. This board, knowing what the community wants and seeing the direction that they want to go in, is good information for us to have as we are anticipating growth in water demand, growth in sewage treatment, greater demand for parks and recreation. If the data showed that, you know, very few, if it was just flipped, people aren't really caring about more jobs, more housing, more affordable housing, that would be good information for us to have as well in terms of our future planning. That's absolutely true that the county controls all of that. And I think for those of you that talk about local control and you don't want to lose local control in Oceano, well, the county is the one that controls all of the stuff related to, you know, streets, curbs, gutters, sidewalks, so on and so forth. And just quickly, the money that was looking for a flood control and sidewalk infrastructure, is that money is coming from federal funds, federal grants. It could come out of the pockets of Oceanians if they wanted to vote for it, but I don't think that they do. And it does have a connection directly when we talk about flood control and our streets. Because we have, if we can control water, we can recharge it into the basin, and that is part of our function. Finally, with regards to the accusation that I manipulated people with my campaign slogan of Sidewalks for Oceano, that was both literal and symbolic in terms of the neglect that our community has experienced for decades by the county, taking our tax monies, not getting a fair return on them. Not saying the county doesn't do anything, but the neglect is clear. And I wanted to make that a point for the community
and something that we start to stand up against. This data is simply that. It's accurate information. What people do with it is, you know, another thing. If you find it informative, if you find it helpful, fine. If you don't, well, then you don't. Facts are facts, like them or not. Yeah, facts are facts, like them or not.
Any further comments? Then I want to, my closing comment on this is that I just wanted to state that it is our jobs, I feel, as a board, not just to make policy here, but to advocate for Oceano at our own personal level when we can, and to go the extra mile if we want. I do try to go the extra. I do go the extra mile. I'm not going to say I try. I do. I speak out at the Board of Supervisors as a, not as someone, you know, on the board here, but as an individual for Oceano. I speak out at SLOCOG meetings as an individual for Oceano. I speak out at Coastal Commission meetings as an individual for Oceano. I do all this as extra volunteer time because I love Oceano and I care about Oceano. And when I tell you to please write and call and email and do all that, is because the county is the one that's, you know, we're not a city, so the county is responsible for a lot of things. And what do they care about? What did the supervisors care about? What does the congressperson and your representatives care about? Your vote and money. Your vote and money. So that's why I tell you, not that I, you know, trying to say you have to work, but just an email every now and then to remind them, Oceano really needs this, or you are my representative. Please keep Oceano in mind when you're, you know, dealing out the projects, the money. Keep Oceano in mind. Thank you. So then, next on our agenda, we have the, looks like the review of the minutes. The consent agenda, I'm sorry. The consent agenda, the, exactly. The review of the consent agenda. It's gonna have someone motion. Okay, I'll give you seconds to look at the consent agenda, and if you want to speak on any of these items, you can come up and do public comment. Being none, can I have someone move to?
I'll make a motion to pass the consent agenda as presented.
I'll second.
I have questions. On the consent agenda?
Go ahead.
Okay. On the warrants, this would be on page 26 of the agenda. On the third item down, the Canon, the $8,600 thing. What's the SIP prop, state water ground? Okay.
Yeah, so that is for the CIP project for that we received Prop 1 grants for, and is the it's for the 19th Street Improvement Project on the elementary school. So it's Canon's working with us on the Prop 1 grant.
Okay, so we're
they're doing the design for us.
They're doing design. Okay, so then I guess so that project is still moving forward.
Yes. So it's been split into two phases. The first phase would be the storm water infiltration gallery at the school to divert stormwater runoff and recharge the basin. And that should hopefully go out for bid for construction this summer. And then phase two would be the streetscape improvements, should there be sufficient funding remaining to do that. But the county is requesting some significant design changes that would cost us more than we have in the budget. So that's why we pushed it to a phase two. But to answer your question, Cannon is doing the design.
Yeah, okay. All right. Thank you. I'd like to hear more about that down the line. The Confluence Engineering, the $3,200, that's additional payment on the contract for the...
Yes, correct. That was for the...
buying more increase in our entitlement to
right.
state water.
That report
okay.
that was presented.
All right, okay,
to you.
Thank you. Down on the bottom, Tamayasu, Smith, Horn, and Braun. These are attorneys for $2,000. No?
That's for the June 30th, 2022 audit.
Okay, all right. Thank you. Those are my questions.
Okay. Thank you. Vice President Gibson?
Yes.
President Villa?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Varney?
Yes.
And Director Joyce Sennison?
Yes. Okay, next on our agenda, we have the business items. We have a workshop on the 2023-24 budget.
Yeah, so while Carrie brings up this, I'll just introduce it. So this is our workshop for the budget next year. So the process is tonight, we kind of show you what staff's recommended budget for next year would be. This is your opportunity to discuss it, ask questions, give staff direction. Then all of that we'll put together and bring back to your board at the last meeting in June to approve the preliminary budget. Then once the preliminary budget is approved, the books will close at June 30th. That's when we will determine how much we have available to actually fund the budget as far as fund balance available, and then that will get rolled into the final budget, which is adopted in August.
Second meeting in August.
So that's the process. So tonight's kind of your workshop to discuss next year's budget. And I'll turn that over now to Carrie as she'll go through each fund with our staff recommendations.
Yes, so thank you. So we have a presentation here. And so basically, we're just going to review each fund. We're going to go over the differences from fiscal year 2022-2023. So basically, the current year we're in, but I'm going to keep calling it last year. So, and then any significant items that have come up, and then at the end we'll go over the ending reserve balances at June 30th, 2024. So I'm going to start in the general fund and start with our administrative budget. So this is where we hold the property taxes, and they are estimated to go up by 3%, and those are used to pay for fire and lighting. And then other sources in there that we also keep in there are the admin reimbursement from the admin allocation that the other funds pay for. And I know we were discussing the allocation last budget review, and I just wanted to remind everybody that the expenditures in the admin fund are reimbursed by the other funds by 3% in the fire fund, 1% in the lighting fund, then 2% by the facilities fund, 60% by the water fund, and then 30% of the wastewater fund, and then 4% of the garbage. So that's the allocation of what those expenditures are refunded by the other funds, because we all work in the administrative budget, and then it's allocated to the others, because we work on, obviously, all types of things here. And the majority of it, you can see water and wastewater. So in those expenditures, the second line item there, we've included, it's basically only an increase of $3,000, and you can see that it's only increasing by 0.29%. A lot of that has to do, we had two longtime staff members. They were replaced by new hires, which obviously you get a cost savings on wages and retirement. And so that's reflected there. And then we also didn't have to budget for any election costs. Last year we had to do the election and also a measure. So that's very helpful, because that was budgeted at $24,000. So we got a savings there.
Carrie, just for, yeah. What page are you on in terms of our agenda?
If you want to go follow, I would follow. So this one would be page 53.
So this is just a presentation, high level, for each fund. It's not, her PowerPoint is not tied to a page in the agenda.
So will we be doing that?
If you desire to discuss in detail, we can do that after.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
All
and
right.
I can flip to pages if you need me to stop. But yeah, I would, for this slide,
the
I'd
overview
say
here.
Page 53 of your packet.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So that's the administrative budget. The next fund we have in the general fund is our fire fund. So the revenues are zero here. That's because property taxes are collected in that last fund, the administrative fund, and then we transfer them to the water fund. And I actually wrote down this page number because I know you asked about it last time. It's 56. So under there, you'll see under transfers and encumbrances, that's the transfer from the administrative budget to the fire and lighting. And so you'll see it's about 1.3 for this year for both, but I'll go over both of those individually. So basically expenditures here, you can see they're only going up by $11,000. And that's the under revenues right there, $11,000, so only 0.95%. And basically we budgeted off the direction your board gave us to contract for fire and services, fire and emergency services up to $1.15 million. So we used that number in this drafted budget for you. And basically that's what we're planning for the next year. We also included, you can see under expenditures, CalPERS pension obligation payoff. So this is for our CalPERS UAL payment. This has nothing to do with Five Cities Fire. Back in 2021, we passed Resolution 2021-05. And we refinanced the district's outstanding unfunded accrued liability. And it was to save over $300,000 in the next period. So by doing that, we refunded our miscellaneous and our safety plans. Safety plan is the one for fire. So that's why you see the large section here in the fire fund. And you'll also see it in our lighting and facilities. So and garbage. So basically, by refunding this UAL, we set up an interfund loan agreement between the general fund, the water fund, the wastewater fund, and the garbage fund. And since fire won't, our fire budget, basically, we want to get this paid off because we'll just carry it in our water and wastewater funds, and we won't have to deal with our interfund payments anymore and get it to where it belongs in water and wastewater. And that's where you see there in the CalPERS pension. So that's where the total of 1.3 comes from at there at the bottom for fiscal year 2023-24. So next in the lighting fund, you'll see the same setup basically. The expenditures, it looks like it's decreasing by, you see the 12%, 12.36%. That really has a lot to do with we had that M&S contract last year. And by last year, I mean current one we're in, so 2022-2023. That raised, obviously, our lighting fund, but that $49,000 is pretty on track with what we normally budget. And then you see the CalPERS pension obligation payoff. So you see it's a lot less in the lighting fund than it was in the fire fund. That's because they're paying for the miscellaneous part of our ULA or unfunded accrued, yeah, UAL payment. And that's because it was by allocated 5% of the miscellaneous, not the safety.
Carrie, could you go back to the previous before garbage?
Fire? Or?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And just so the in 2023, so we're paying off the UAL in one lump sum?
So this is for a resolution we did in 2021, and it set up an interfund loan agreement between basically every fund. The general, so general includes fire, lighting, facilities. Then water and wastewater revenues were pledged on this obligation bond. So the other funds, which would be general and garbage, their revenues wouldn't cover what that obligation needed, so we have an interfund loan. So we would be paying off that loan, so it would only sit in the water and wastewater fund going forward. And that is also budgeted in your, it's been budgeted for, well, since 2021. Under, it's a debt service. And right there is where we keep it for our water and wastewater fund. So that will continue to be there going forward.
Is there a reason that we need to pay it all off now?
Because fire services won't exist, right? The county will be taking over, so this needs to be taken care of this year.
So I think rather than thinking of it as being paid off, we're simply transferring the general fund's responsibility for that UAL payment into the water and wastewater funds, and we're going to hold the money there and then make payments from water and wastewater moving forward. But that way we'll have taken the general fund money that it owes and put it in the water and wastewater fund so that when we no longer have a fire fund, it would have been already collected and set aside to make those payments.
But these payments will go on over time.
Over probably the next 12 years. I think it was a 15-year bond.
Yeah.
So we've probably made 2 years' payments.
This will be our third year.
So about over the next, we'll take that $112,000 and we'll make those payments over the next 12, 13 years.
Okay.
So that's what we're doing.
Okay.
So don't think of it as paying it off all at once.
Okay.
But it's just moving it from the fire fund, which will no longer exist after next year, and move it to where we can keep track of it and make those payments.
Thank you.
So for clarification, because I'm a little confused now, are you saying that on a yearly basis we're going to be paying at least $112,000?
No.
Yearly?
No, that it's more like the $12,000 that we paid this year, but the $112,000 is the balance remaining that fire owes, and we're just moving that money into the water and wastewater mm-hmm. funds so that we can make those payments for the next 12 years. So that 112 will slowly get depleted over the next 12 or 13 years.
Okay, so it's...
Yes, and so, yeah, the debt service can be seen in the wastewater and water fund under the debt service line, so we'll get there. Anything else? Okay, then we're on facilities. So we're still in the general fund. So revenues in the facilities fund, you can see they've gone down. That's because we won't be part of the JPA anymore with the Five Cities Fire Authority. And before we received $15,000 a year in rent from there. So you can see we won't be receiving that, so we've left that out for this year. And then in expenditures, in this draft budget, we have items, line items for the Highway 1 beautification project, new flooring and painting in the sheriff's building, and then we also have to remove an old diesel tank over at our Well 8 property. Next, so this will be our first enterprise fund. So we're done with the general fund. So the first one I'm going to go over is our water fund. So the water revenues, we've projected for them to decrease from the previous year, because you guys saw in the third quarter budget, we were estimated to be below. So basically for this budget, we are basing it off what we've been seeing in consumption lately, which is obviously a lot less. And so we've adjusted those water rates to be more accurate for where we think consumption is going. And then our expenditures, they remain pretty consistent there, actually down 1%. And in our 2020 rates, we've been setting aside $150,000 for capital improvement projects, so CIP. And we've included that in this budget, just like we did last year. Our next one will be the wastewater fund. You can see here, unlike the water fund, our rates don't change. They're fixed, and they actually don't have any increases. So that's something that we need to do, is do a rate increase. And then the district has also, we've included in expenditures, some improvements to a sewer lateral on Beach Street. And we also need to do something similar like we did in the WRRP, the water reliability program, and set that up in the sewer system, something similar like that for our deferred infrastructure. But you can see it's going down by 3%. Then we have our garbage fund. So this has been pretty much drafted the same as last year. And we've also included funds for the One Cool Earth program that we've been a part of. So there's $10,000 set aside for them. And so you can see, basically, we've got revenues going up by how much South County Sanitary Services are increasing it. So there's the increase there. And then our equipment funds. So this is funded through our three enterprise funds. So that's the water, the wastewater, and our garbage fund. And the only thing really different here is we've set aside $30,000 for a new service truck in the equipment fund, and that would be funded by our three enterprise funds. So then those are all our funds. I was just going to do a quick review of where estimated reserves will be at June 30th, 2024, so at the end of this budget. So based on the draft budget we have attached here, you can see all the funds are in a deficit except for water. And the general fund reserves, you can see there, are less than $100,000 on June 30th, 2024. And based on our fire, our lighting, and our facilities costs, we would be canceling $103,705 of general fund reserves for what we have currently budgeted today. And as you know, the district has been funding fire out of reserves based on the JPA amendments that started in 2019 at $1.138 million. So we've been funding out of reserves, and you can see that there. And it's also important to remember the divestiture costs that are coming up with the LAFCO process, and that's for the general fund. And then you can see in the wastewater fund, we obviously know rates need to be considered a rate increase there because the rates haven't increased for a good while. And then our garbage fund, I know your board adopted a resolution in 2020 to reduce franchise fees. So probably at our next budget workshop for 2024-2025, we need to look at that resolution and see if we need to increase that. So because we'll be at $87,926 at the end of this year. So that will be something we'll consider then. So with that, your board, I know in the past several months, have requested some estimates to be brought back at this budget workshop for your consideration.
I had a question on the previous one, please. Yeah. So in a nutshell, why have three of these four funds lost $100,000 each?
Right. So in 2020, the board in the garbage fund adopted a resolution to lower the franchise fees the district was going to receive from 10% from the garbage company to 5%, and that savings gets passed on to our customers. So our board made that decision to help customers, basically to run down reserves, and we're supposed to keep an eye on it until reserves. And basically, next budget workshop, we would need to reconsider, do we want to increase that back to 10%? So that's why that's been running down, and it has been running down since 2020. And it was, okay. I think I have the actual resolution. It's like 2020-02.
That's okay.
So that was a conscious decision to help out customers. The wastewater fund, the revenues, that's something we know we need to do is increase them because it's a fixed amount each year, and there's no annual increase like there is in our current water rate system. So that's something we also know we need to do. And then we also, in the general fund, we know we've been running down reserves to pay for fire since 2019 when the First Amendment went through.
So in this last year, we used $103,000 of general funds to pay for fire?
Well, this will be in the next year. This is all talking about 2023-2024. The budget, quarter three budget review that we did last meeting, actually it's included in here.
So we, right, but so in 2022-23, that's where the $103,000 from the general fund was spent.
So no, this would be in the upcoming year. And if you're looking for 2022-2023, that is included on, we can find that number. That will be on page, sorry.
Yeah, so these numbers are next year's budget. So as presented, we're going to draw down the general fund $103,000 from $175,000. So that's your bank account. That's your savings account. It's going from $175,000 down to $71,000 to pay for fire. And that's what we've been doing for several years now is, and we know it's not sustainable to continue to do that. That's why we're divesting of fire service.
And so how do we end up with $103,000 if we're getting the same, we're getting that, the 1.15, how much are we getting? We don't know exactly what we're getting from the county yet, correct?
No, we don't get anything from the county. So
what he's saying is, where are you getting this projected numbers?
Property,
is this something estimate that you're thinking is going to cost more for this?
Well, we know that we really only have about $1,050,000 to $1,080,000 in property tax available for fire. So if we do a contract for 1.15 that we're talking about for the next year, so that's, you know, there's your $100,000 right there.
And if you want to look at last year's, you can find all that because it's got 2020. Yeah, we got 2017 to basically this current year, and you can go on page 51. It's got all the history.
So this 71,000 would be the only possible place to get money for parks and recreation?
For anything. So, and she was going to show you what you've discussed about possibly adding to the budget for next year, which was
we included hearing and the improvement to our hearing impaired equipment.
And then you also wanted a cost for hybrid meetings from AGP.
Mm-hmm.
That would be an additional $26,000. So just showing that we've talked about adding these things to the budget. Possibly, but that would further reduce that 71,000. So we're certainly not recommending that to you.
It looks like we need to keep 71,000 in there.
I think we need to keep as much as we can in there, and that's
correct.
Why we presented it as recommended, knowing that we continue to deficit fund fire until LAFCO makes its decision.
And we have unfunded liabilities that isn't an unknown amount, correct?
Correct. So currently, our unfunded liabilities estimate, if we were to pay it off in a lump sum, would be somewhere around $1.6 million, but we know that's going to go up. So
And then the
But that will be in the future.
And then the future contract, you kind of gave a guess, but it could be more. I mean, we don't know.
We can discuss that in our next item.
Okay, all right.
But we're comfortable leaving what we have in there for the contract amount, $1.15 million. We think that's going to be what is presented to your board for approval.
On the wastewater fund, when was the last time we did an increase on that?
2011.
Yeah, it's been 12 years since wastewater fund rates have been increased. They're very low. And we will need to address that and put in an inflation factor in the rates, but it's not critical because there's $1.1 million in reserves in that fund. And I think that's the end of...
Oh, sorry.
Is that the end of your presentation?
Yes. So Okay. Basically the next thing would be a public hearing on June 21st. So part of tonight, no matter what our direction is, I do need direction to have June 21st be our public hearing item. And that has to be posted in, on our website, on the front door, and in the Tribune. So with that, I would be happy to answer any questions on the slides or in the packet.
I'm just thinking that given the, tremendous amount of detail on the budget in here, and I know I have 3 pages here of topics that I want to discuss. I don't know how, we have a lot of stuff again on the agenda tonight. I mean, I think we're going to need another meeting to review the budget before this June 21st date.
And is that the 21st or is it the 24th?
What else would we need to review before that meeting?
Oh, no, 28th, sorry. Our meeting is the 28th.
After this meeting, then the next meeting is the 28th that we will have this topic?
No, I'm looking at the public hearing to adopt the preliminary budget.
But there'll be another meeting, right?
There will be a meeting June 14th.
So we have to adopt,
The presentation is incorrect, but my packet's right. So, yes, the 28th.
So, Director Varney, can you, you're wanting to add things to the budget? Am I understanding you?
I would like to find funding for Parks and Recreation, but my questions... the numerous questions I have are not about adding, therefore understanding what is being budgeted.
Well, I
went through the budget line by line by line.
I'm just wondering why you think we would have money to fund Parks and Recreation. I mean, we've never funded it before because we just don't have the funding. We have to provide services for the health and safety of the community. Mm-hmm. And a park is, it's nice. Mm-hmm. It's a want, but it's not a need.
I think if there's a will, there's a way. It seems that, one Cool Earth gets funding from the garbage fund because they do recycling education. We would be happy to do recycling education with a kids' basketball league at the community center and get funds from the garbage funds because we're doing recycling education. I mean, I think that's the way that, things get worked if you have a will to do it.
And
so, but I, I, my, I have specific questions on the on the entire budget.
Okay. And I guess I would respond that we have a whole host of roller hockey, summer camps, little league basketball, soccer and more soccer, skateboard park, tiny tots. We have all kinds of recreation. And you mentioned Pee Wee's soccer clinic at the last meeting. And we already have the Y doing soccer and AYSO doing soccer. So I think you're trying to duplicate recreations that are all already available to kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Parks and Recreation Committee is not interested in duplicating something that's already happening, you know, for kids in our community.
Right. So why would a basketball thing at the community center work? I think there's one already there.
So I'm not going to debate this topic right now. There will be a time for that. But, you know, we're looking at the entire budget right now.
And I'll just finish with our budget should be focused on fire, fire, fire.
This is where we say.
Okay, so.
We have a discussion right now.
You can have.
Well,
can
I
want
to just follow up on Shirley that, you know, we have to put lives and property first here. And like she said, we have all these programs for children to do in our county and in our community. And if we were to, I was at the Board of Supervisors chambers with the LAFCO, and when it was brought up that, you know, we're trying to find money to fund the fire service, and it was brought up that, well, you know, we're doing parks and recreation, and they questioned that. They said, well, you're having one of the members up there. It was kind of embarrassing because he questioned, well, why are you talking about you funding parks and recreation when you're up here not knowing how you're going to fund your fire? So any funding to find money for that would be a dereliction of our duties here, and I cannot stand behind anything to do with that. I don't want one penny spent on recreation until we have solid fire service, first medical, rapid response, everything that we've been accustomed to that we're going to lose anyway. I mean, we're not going to have the rapid response like we had. Our insurance rates aren't going to be like they were, but I still think all our money needs to go to fire. And I don't think, you know, until you've had a family member on the floor dying and you wait an hour, which happened to me in Oceano. So I just want to say that I think our fire service is the most important thing in major medical. If somebody had a heart attack or something, or, you know, it would be really sad that we were paying for Pee Wee soccer when somebody's dying in this community. So let's be responsible, do the job we're elected to do, and take care of the health and safety of this community first. The schools, the Boys and Girls Club, the leagues, everybody takes care of the kids. If it comes to the time when something happens and we have a lot of money, then great. We should do the Parks and Rec. Right now, it looks completely irresponsible, and I can't even fathom the thought of it. For us, it would be horrible for us to come out and say that, well, we're going to fund, you know, the little Pee Wee League and worry about fire later, sure. Worry about water service later, while we're out playing with the children, and, you know, and like I said, our children are not lacking in anything here. So that's my take on it.
President Villa and Director Sunnison, Joyce Sunnison, do you have an opinion of where you're? Thoughts are on this?
Just a minute. I mean, we're having a discussion about parks and recreation now. I want to go through the budget, and I want to understand what I don't understand before we have a discussion about allocating money to parks and recreation, rather than, you know, having a discussion now about it.
I also have a question. My question is maybe kind of similar or bounces off of Director Varney's, and that is that I'm not I know how critical, you know, fire services are. I've called them several times, and how, you know, the quick response of, I'm a strong advocate for keeping the five cities fire together, but unfortunately it didn't work out. Is there any creative way to get funds for other extra things, such as, I don't know what his budget is going to be, but I'm one for wanting for the hearing impaired. You said that in the wastewater fund that we don't have to worry about that because there's plenty of money in that. Is there a way we can borrow from that for the hearing impaired equipment? I mean, hearing impairment, this has been brought up by someone in our community that comes regularly to these meetings and has a very difficult time. Also, I'd like to point out, I'm a very strong advocate for the disabled because my mother's disabled. And hearing impairment is one of the, you know, disabilities that is most common among seniors. So to me, it is important to have hearing impaired equipment if it's only for that amount. And if we can find somewhere, I don't know about the legalities of what funds we can get borrowed from. Like if, you know, Director Varney could borrow from another fund that has money, or if that, if we can fund that in any way.
So I think we can fund that only because that is something that benefits every, it, that would go in the administrative fund. And as Carrie brought out, that's funded by 60% from the water fund, 30% from the wastewater fund, and 1% from garbage? 4%. 4% and 6% from the general fund. So the impact to the general fund for that piece of equipment wouldn't be as much as, you know, so you're talking 6% of 2,500. So less than, you know, maybe $200 would come from the general fund for the hearing impaired equipment.
Okay, maybe that's, he wants something similar like that stated about what he wants. I don't, you know, I don't know what funds we can use for what things, but I'm glad that you can, you know,
yeah,
fund
if
that
it's, if
for
it's
the
used
because it's for, important for me.
If
for
it's used
others
to
in the community, awesome.
To benefit all the funds, it gets allocated to all the funds. But if it's specific to one program, then that one program is what funds it. So,
so you're saying that Parks and Rec could not borrow from any of the other funds?
Well, it could. You can always borrow from funds, but the question is, how are you going to pay it back?
Right.
So there has to be a dedicated stream to pay it back. You know, I would not recommend taking money from the general fund to fund Parks and Rec unless there was a revenue stream. So, for example, once that plaza is built, and if this district is the one that's going to be in charge of operating it, that's something where you could possibly charge fees, like for farmers markets, and then those fees could fund, you know, the upkeep of but that's not really gonna provide extra money for other rec parks and rec programs. So that's the rub with Parks and Rec. You have to find fees to support your Parks and Rec program. So, but again, as was mentioned, just taking it out of the general fund probably is not something I would recommend.
It's too much. Is that what you're saying, the amount?
Just that we don't have much, and we have a big liability coming in the future for fire that we're going to have to eventually pay from general funds.
Right.
Oh, I just say that, you know, I think the idea with the plaza, that what you said is an excellent idea. That would be a way to get the Parks and Rec Committee and funding coming in. I think if people want to just, you know, wait till the timing is right, I think that's excellent what you brought up.
I think the other thing we need to keep in mind is, you know, where is the demand from the public that is coming to us asking us for recreation? And, you know, I haven't talked to one person that has mentioned that because they already have their kids in the different sports and camps. So it's not like people are rushing down here to say, oh, do this for us, okay? People will come down here when they, you know, have big concerns about certain issues, but that's not something that's bringing them in. So if there's not a demand, then why are we trying to give something that there is no demand for?
And maybe to Director Varney's questions, I don't know if you have three pages of questions. I don't know if you want to do that during this meeting or if you would like to come in and discuss those with staff, because there's still the opportunity to make changes to the budget at the budget hearing. So if you get your questions answered between now and the budget hearing, then at that time would be a possibility to make changes to the budget if you want to go that route, or we can certainly answer those questions tonight, whatever you think is best.
Well, I think just, you know, in terms of, I mean, I have these questions. I don't know what, you know, Director Sunnison or any of the other directors, what questions they have, how well they comprehend the details of this budget. I have, other than the Santa Maria Valley Water Conservation District, I don't have a lot of experience with these large budgets. And as I went through it systematically, questions came up that I need answers to.
So our door is open for anyone that wants to come in and discuss the details. Mm-hmm. And like I said, okay, there's always that option during the budget preliminary budget hearing to make changes if you desire. Mm-hmm.
So do you think it's, I guess the question is it better to do that one-on-one, or is it better to do it in an open meeting for the public to be able to witness and understand?
Maybe you should take public comment on this item, and if there's any comments, then we can address those as well.
We will have an opportunity at the public hearing also to discuss this, is from what I understand.
Well, and tonight.
The public hearing is like 5 days before the budget has to be submitted. You know, and that's, yes, there will be some opportunity for discussion, but this is, you
basically
know,
it,
something
for me.
I don't want to be pressured.
Okay. Any further discussion from our board? Now we'll take public comment on this item.
So we don't have any money for fire and water and garbage, but you want to open another park when we have 38 of them in the five cities. The kids all go to SOTA to play games, or they go to the high school, they go to the junior high school. Who's funding you? Who wants you to put these out there and use our money for that? Not us. We don't want that. We don't need more houses torn down or trees taken out so a park can be put in when there's that many around here. I just don't understand that. And if you're going to discuss this, it's not going to be on a one-on-one meeting. It's going to be so we can hear what you're saying, because I personally don't trust you. And I want to know what you say, because I think that you're maybe deceiving the residents of Oceano with your whatever it is that you have on your agenda that's not along with what Oceano is. It was clear from the last meeting that you got caught and you almost cried sitting there because we weren't going to let you do your bullshit from the last meeting. And there you are again. Turn your head because you know you got caught. You know you're wrong. And if you continue down this path, I am sending a report to the SIT. Got it? Do you know what the SIT is? It's the department that works under the Department of Justice that investigates boards like this.
I'm Pam, and I volunteered for the city of Grover Beach for 21 years. And we got grants for Park and Recs.
What's your name, ma'am?
Pam.
Pam. What's your last name?
Spicer. S-P-I-C-E-R. We got grants through the city of San Luis Obispo, Park and Recs, for anything we did up there. And I was just a volunteer. Like I said, I was there for 20 years. So I know, because I worked with them and I did everything they did. Everything. And we did a lot. And we got grants for most of it. Thank you very much.
Any further public comment?
Thank you again for preparing this budget proposal and looking at it. Although I did have a hard time trying to decipher when you went off script of following pages and your new graphs that were a summary of it, it was very confusing on which page I was actually on to follow along. Definitely, I would recommend public comment on the discussion of whatever line we are looking at, because it's very important to know why are we discussing such things, or if it is important for our district to be really involved with it. And thank you so much for reminding us that how many grants are out there, and that we will try and do our due diligence to look for such things. But again, taking from things that are very important, that we need to be fiscally responsible for our safety of our community is way more important when we have so many wonderful public parks, so many activities, youth programs, and also related to our schools.
Hi, my name is Gina. I just wanted to say I have a son, and we have a very big family with lots of children. And being such a close-knit community and our town, like, you're in Grover, you're in Oceano, you step over the street, you know what I mean? So, like, we have so many programs, and my children have always been involved in a ton of things in this area, and there's grants and help for people that are low income. You know, I can't even, you know, put it out there, like, why is this even on the table? I mean, we know what our focus is right now and what's very important to us. The only reason I think maybe it's on the table is because somebody is misleading our community and giving them promises of things in order to win attention and win votes and win them and make themselves popular, which is pretty much misleading our community and lying. And that's really, really bad, because then we have a lot of people that are disappointed, and it makes everybody look like, you know, who do we trust? Who do we listen to? So, yeah, we have that stuff there to provide for our children, which is amazing. But I think the person that is saying, we're going to get these things, It's a lie.
Any further public comment? We continue.
Have you closed public comment?
Yes.
Oh.
A discussion?
No, I just wanted to mention that grants are available, but many times now you have to have matching funds. And so, in other words, you know, if you're doing a $100,000 project, well, then you have to come up with, say, $80,000 yourself. So that would be the big concern here, is that you can't start and operate a Parks and Rec without funds. You know, you have to have the funds to actually get the grants. Thank you.
We done? So we close public comment. Any closing comments?
Oh, so I'm prepared to do your questions. Is that what we?
I think that's where we left off, right? With questions.
If you want to do it tonight, we can. If not, we can try to answer any board's questions before the budget hearing, and then you can discuss the preliminary budget at the hearing.
What if between now and the second Wednesday in June, you know, I can meet with you, and then anything that I believe needs to have, you know, I want to bring to the entire board.
Sure.
That can be, we can have the budget on the agenda for the next meeting, right?
That's definitely possible. So we could put an item on the 14th, kind of similar to the one tonight. Mm-hmm. We won't have the presentation. We'll have just the budget, and we can discuss the budget again.
Okay.
And I think Director Varney mentioned that Director Joyce Sunnison would need some, perhaps couldn't they both? Two directors can meet.
Correct.
With you. So I think that would be a good idea if you both went and met with Mr. Clemens.
I would just recommend maybe if you are all in agreement of adding the hearing impaired equipment, we could add that into the proposed budget for next time.
I'm in agreement with that.
Do we need a vote for that?
It would probably be good to have a motion and a vote.
Okay. I move that we put the hearing impairment equipment cost in our budget for our next meeting.
Second.
President Bia?
Yes.
Director Austin?
Yes.
Director Varney?
Yes.
Director Joyce Sunnison?
Yes.
And Vice President Gibson?
Yes.
Are we done with the budget?
Yep. We're all done.
Okay.
For now.
So our next business item on our agenda is consideration of progress of a contract with the Five Cities Fire Authority for interim fire protection services and divestiture proceedings.
Yeah, so this is our standing agenda item to discuss the progress. There was basically two significant things that happened since our last meeting. One was the LAFCO study session that took place last Thursday, which was just more of an informational study session for the LAFCO members. But what we did learn was that the county will be discussing this with the Board of Supervisors, I believe on June 20th, I think was the date they indicated. And that's where they're going to get direction from the Board of Supervisors on I think if they want to take over fire service, and how they would do that, would it be by contracting with Five Cities Fire, or would it be by using County Fire / Cal Fire? So that discussion will happen June 20th, I think, is the date that they had set for that. And then once that discussion with the Board of Supervisors takes place, they would come back in July sometime with a formal plan for service to provide service in Oceano. So that was the LAFCO side of things, an update on where we are with LAFCO. And then as Director Varney reported last night, the City of Arroyo Grande approved terms that are consistent with what your board took action on at our last meeting. So Mr. Martin and myself are working on the details of those agreements, and so we look forward to, at our June 14th meeting, having a contract for services before your board for consideration and approval, as well as a contract that specifies how we're going to divvy up the assets and liabilities from the existing Five Cities Fire Authority. So those will be two agreements that we'll bring back to your board on June 14th. And so that will ensure that we have a smooth transition on July 1st, and Oceano will be covered with fire service. So that's all I have to report, and happy to answer any questions.
Well, thank you for your representation at the LAFCO meeting. You did an outstanding job representing Oceano, and I'm just happy to see that we have an agreement in the works to cover us for the next year until it's all resolved.
I had a question for Director Varney, since he's been the leadership on the fire committee for our board, and Supervisor Paulding is, you know, of course, on the Board of Supervisors, but he's also on the LAFCO board. So do you know what his efforts are towards helping Oceano with the future contract? Is he, I mean, are we going to lose all of our assets? And if they take our assets and there's still a shortfall, are they going to lower our service? Are they going to make up for any of our shortfall? Things like that.
I would not know the answer to that, and I would not know what Supervisor Paulding's opinions are on that. I do know that and you can help me out with this, Mr. Clemens, that the agreement that AG made last night will allow them to have have eight firefighters and three battalion chiefs. They will have services 24/7, 365 days, with three-person crews and one two-person crew, 24/7, 365, out of AG and Grover Beach.
I think my concern...
Which is more than we have now.
Okay. My concern is more about the future contract, and since he is our supervisor, I mean, he should be working on our behalf. And I just thought, since you were the leader of that committee, that you would have been speaking to him. So
that I would what?
That you would have been having conversations with him as the leader of the fire committee.
Those issues will be discussed in open meetings in LAFCO. And I believe that's when, Supervisor Paulding will be taking a front seat. I am confident that Supervisor Paulding wants the best for Oceano.
I agree, but on the other hand, there's no reason to not meet with him, you know, individually. I'm going to have a meeting with he and Linda. I mean, you know, you can always lobby your supervisors if it's important enough. So,
any more discussion? Being none. Do we want to have public comment just for this individual item? Being none, we'll continue.
Just wanted to thank you all for being here, and that I'm going to be here every meeting from now on, and I'm bringing my little friend with me, and I would hope that all of you have a copy of this at home, because if not, I'm going to report that it's not being used and you're not doing it right. And then someone's going to come say, hey, I'd like to talk to you downtown, okay? So please go ahead and smile and laugh. And I don't want to be rude to anybody else, but this also covers the ringing of cell phones.
Any further public comment? Being none, we'll can I have you state your name?
Holly Go Light Infantry. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd like to everybody know that Sunday we're going to be planting a garden over here at the Oceano Depot, and I wanted to use your video camera to let everybody know on Memorial Day because, hey, it's free advertisement. So I have to go now. I have better things to do because I'm a real scientist, an environmental scientist, unlike Charles Varney. And I have things to do. A world-renowned one. A published one. I have to go.
Bye. Thank you.
Can you please restrain from comments, side comments? Okay. Next on our business items, we have the consideration of district bylaws and determination of potential violation.
This was requested to be put on the agenda last meeting. With that, I will turn it over to your board.
Yeah, so I'll start this. If you, at the end of the agenda, there are some posts on social media made by Director Varney, and I kind of wanted to go over some of those. And one of his first actions as director was to change several of our bylaws. And now on social media, he does not honor and respect the bylaws of the district. So I'll just point out on a few of these. This one says, OCSD Prez needs to hear from residents who want factual information on a possible merger with Rover. And, essentially what he's doing here is he's not supporting the action that was already taken, okay, and essentially trying to obstruct the action. Okay, and then he also tries to criticize President Villa. And then on this one, he calls that there were ones that felt too intimidated, but the bullying crowd of know-nothings crowd they were afraid to speak up. And plenty of people were upset at Director Villa's inability to control the meeting. So again, here he's name-calling the public. He's criticizing President Villa again. And again, he's obstructing an action that has been taken. And on this one, Aileen Villa was elected president and I was elected vice president, then Director Varney wanted a do-over. He said, I wanted to have the vote for president and vice president separate. I wanted to be vice president. I was confused as to why Aileen was agreeing to have Shirley Gibson as her vice president. I felt I was definitely qualified. And again, he's criticizing President Villa, he's disparaging me, and he's not supporting the action. I was elected VP, and he didn't like it. And again, on this one, he says, many pro speakers were intimidated into silence by the rude, crude bullies at the meeting. So again, he's not supporting the action, and he's calling the public names. And this is the last one, blocking democracy in Oceano, tell Director Villa no way. Essentially, he's telling people, go ahead and harass President Villa because we don't like the vote, how the vote turned out. And then he calls the people know-nothings and anti-democratic censors. And those are both, negative comments about the public. And then, of course, he was absolutely shocked that that Board President Aileen Villa chose to side with the perspective which negates and ignores the expressed desires of, majority of the community. Well, for one thing, there were more people here that were against it. And he says, Ms. Villa has typically focused on the needs of the entire community rather than indulge her personal opinion or agenda. So again, harass Director Villa. And he's not supporting the action, he's obstructing it. So, and there were 10 social media posts on there. And 5 of them criticized President Villa for her vote. In 5 of the posts, in 2 of the posts, he encourages people to harass her. In 3 posts, he criticizes the public and calls them names. In 7 posts, he doesn't support the action and continues to obstruct the implementation. So right now, I'd like to have our legal counsel explain a short version of why we have bylaws and why they're important.
Before our counsel moves forward, I'd like an opportunity to respond.
Go ahead, Director Varney.
Okay. So I do take this very seriously. Director Gibson has alleged 23 counts of violations of the bylaws on my account. And I consider this this is a witch hunt in my mind. It's unnecessary, it's divisive, it creates a hostile workplace environment. And I will address each one of these alleged violations. Before I do, there are 4 or 5 bylaws that Director Gibson continually evokes. One of her favorites is 5.3, which says, once the board takes action, directors should commit to supporting the action and should not obstruct implementation of the action. Well, first of all, I think this is a very problematic bylaw constitutionally. As you know, elected officers, elected officials, constantly disagree with one another about things, and they disagree with actions that their colleagues take. Republicans pass something, Democrats go like, hey, you know, we don't like that. I don't like it. I'm going to continue to say I don't like it. And they have a freedom of speech to do that. And that is a, you know, I don't know if it's a fine line, but it is a certainly an important line, and I don't think it's one that I crossed over in any of these allegations that she makes. I'll start by the first one. Could you please put it up, Carrie? This is page, and I'm just going to follow through. This is page 102 of the agenda. So this is an opinion on, I think this is my, yeah, this is the first one. That an opinion piece I wrote in the Tribune in early April in response to an editorial they made about the merger, talking about the merger of Oceano and Grover Beach. I make statements about why Oceanans may find favor with a merger. There might be positive aspects for the merger. This is to the, you know, and listed a number of them. And she says it violates number 6.2, which the board is the unit of authority within the district. Apart from their normal functions as part of the board, directors have no individual authority. As individuals, directors may not commit the district to any policy, act, or expenditure. Nowhere in here do I mention OCSD. Nowhere in here do I act as if I'm committing the district to any sort of behavior at all. The district isn't even mentioned. This is a totally invalid complaint. Let's go on to the next one. This is a statement that I don't know what is intended by having this one in here, but you can see what I have to say. I'm presenting my opinion that, you know, citizens should have access to information on pros and cons in order to form their own opinions. That seems to me to be a very core democratic value. It's nothing that should be criticized or held in contempt. Let's go on to the next one. So this statement, invoking bylaws 6.2 and 6.3, according to, and this is a classic one here from director, from the director, Gibson, that this happened after I was sworn into office. That's impossible because the election isn't even certified or completed yet. So how could I be possibly...
I wrote after swearing in, yeah. It could be potential.
That makes no sense. I can't be taken to task after I'm elected for something that an opinion I expressed prior to it. And even the opinion that I express violates no rule. This is my turn, and so okay. I'm not finished. Let's go to the next one. So in this one, I thank the New Times for covering the topic that the merger of Oceano and Grover is just an idea. There's way more questions than answers. The OCSD will be the lead agency. That's a fact. I'm not committing the agency to anything, but we are the lead agency. I'm stating a fact. I'm giving out information. And that in that we will, you know, provide accurate and factual information to the community, and we'll do so in an open, transparent, and honest manner. Those are the values. Those are values of our organization. So I'm just repeating facts. And I'll talk about what I propose to do. None of these violate bylaws 6.1 or 6.3, as it is alleged. Let's go on to the next one. So here I'm reporting on what happened in the election. These are facts. I talk about what percentage of the votes have been counted so far. This is before I was even officially elected to office, or before the election was completed. So there, by virtue of that, there can be no violation of the bylaws because I wasn't a director at the time. I did offer up an opinion about the consequences of that. Again, that's my right as a U.S. citizen by the Constitution, by the Bill of Rights. Next one, please. Here I'm talking about the next door poll. I'm presumably violating four bylaws. And all I'm doing is presenting my perspective. The use of the term know-nothings is a term used through much of history to describe a certain attitude. And reporting on my perceptions that there were people upset at Director Villa's not controlling the meeting is, again, not a harassment of President Villa. I'm stating my opinion, and that's all it is. Let's go on to the next one. This is from a next door post where I pointed out that President Villa said that she, you know, wanted to hear from residents on who wanted to get more information, that she welcomed hearing from it, and that if there were, you know, enough people that wanted to have that information, that she would be supportive of it. And so what I did was I encouraged people to write to President Villa and let her know that they did, you know, support that, if in fact they did. That is not harassment. That is not attacking. That is actually following up on what President Villa said she would, you know, be open to. Could we go to the next one, please? So this is my account on what happened in that meeting. And I quote a next door poll. I did say that I was shocked at what happened. And obviously I didn't agree with what happened. There is no bylaw that I violated by saying that I wasn't happy with what happened. I have a right to not be happy about it. I have a right to say that. I am not required by the bylaws to say, yes, I agree with what was done and I'm going to support that. That is not what these bylaws are about. And finally, I think are we at the end yet? Again, violating 5.1, 5.3. Again, stating my opinion. We don't have the facts, and some people don't want us to have them. The motion was to direct the general manager to meet with Grover in the county to informally discuss what the study and the pros and cons would be like. Many pro speakers were intimidated into silence by the rude, crude bullies at the meeting. I stand by that. Mm-hmm. I think that these I apologize for the words rude, crude, and bullies are strong words, and it would be better for me to not use those kinds of terms. And then finally, I think this is the final one. No, it isn't. They go on and on. So I'm not going to go through every one of these because of the time situation. I was quoted in the New Times as saying I wanted to have the vote for president and vice president separate. So that's my right to express that opinion. I expressed it in the meeting. None of these things violate the bylaws, as far as I can tell. I would ask, I think our counsel is here. I think this is a very difficult sort of situation for him to be in. I would say to Mr. Martin that if you, in your legal opinion, sincerely believe that any of these quotes here have violated bylaws, then I would like to know about that, and I would like to correct my behavior. I don't believe that they do, and I'm sorry that we're spending time on this, but I didn't bring it up.
Okay, I'd like to say something. First off, the social media posts about this board started long before Charles Varney was seated. And what was very disappointing when he was elected, to see the post on Nextdoor where he claimed victory, and then he touted that we now have a 3-2 progressive majority in charge. The reign of Linda Austin is over. Mm-hmm. So as a sitting member of the board, already he's starting to be adversarial to the board before he even is seated. And then, it's a 5-member board. So everybody, there's not one person can reign. So the signaling out that Linda Austin's reign is over was just a derogatory thing to say. And, what I've witnessed when people are elected to this board or any board is what the person says is, thank you very much for my supporters. I'm going to, I look forward to working with the board and doing a great job for my community. But what Mr. Varney did was he started out from the get-go drawing a line on the board, dividing the board before he was even installed, a nonpartisan community services district that is not a place for partisan politics. And to say there's a 3-2 progressive majority, that started the tone, and it hasn't stopped. And so what these social media posts, I think it's very egregious. I mean, he can say his opinion and everything, but when you're a board, you don't criticize your president when her vote differs from yours. And that's what happened. It wasn't just that he was voicing his opinion and he didn't agree. We don't always agree, but you don't go up and you don't start in criticizing and saying that, you were shocked at her vote. It appears that Director Varney had a pre-planned notion that the two ladies sitting over here that he mentions as his progressive majority were going to just vote his way. And if they don't vote his way, then they're free to be criticized and belittled. And that's not the way it works in these kind of situations. We're supposed to vote, agree to disagree, move on. But then it just keeps bringing it up and posting. And, using those words, I was shocked at her vote and pouting when President Villa supported Shirley Gibson for vice president. This is aggressive over a vote that did not go his way. And in my opinion, it shows that he thought he was going to control President Bia and the other director. And when he can't control what they say and do and how they vote, then he takes it to social media to put shame on him. And the part about the know-nothings, that is a derogatory term. I looked it up. It is not just a term. And then book burners he also used. And, you know, these were just Oceano residents who came here because they didn't like what was going on with these annexation talks. And then to say people are trying to keep them in the dark and not give information, they don't want it. That's what they were saying. And the room was full. It wasn't a small vocal minority. It was a majority, and that's the way it is out there. So this constant social media that just is not doing any good for this district. And it's unfortunate. Yeah, we had to bring it up. And it's just, we hope now maybe when it's all out in the open, Director Varney can learn to work as a team here and not air his grievances on social media concerning the board of directors. You know, like if you don't, when it says that, you know, you're supposed to, you're not supposed to say, I agree with the vote. You say, the vote has been taken and I must respect that. I didn't agree, wasn't what I wanted to see happen, but the board has spoken and I respect their vote, and you move on. You don't go picking on social media talking about how, you know, it should have done this and let's get, you know, gather up the people to complain and, right, you know, this is a 5-member board, and it's not a one-man show, you know, which is, it seems like that's the attempt to be here. I'm sorry to say, you know, I don't like this, but there's 5 board members here. We all have different life experiences. We all have different points of view, different things. We should be able to take our talents and our information and our history and treat each other with respect. Even when we disagree, we agree to disagree and we move on. And I just thought this needed to come out. So maybe we can, you know, everybody should watch the social media and not, it's just negative. It doesn't do any good for the community to have constant negative posts and especially deriding your own board. So that's all I have to say. I'd like to this to be ended and move on and see how we can get along now and move forward as a cohesive board of directors here and do the best for our community. That's my point of view.
And I would hope that President Bia receives some apologies for the hot mic moment.
That's another thing, the hot mic moment. You know, Mr. Varney was critical of people about the FU out there. Well, there was plenty of, in fact, Mr. Varney said it to me at a public meeting at the airport, which Ms. Bia was there, and so was.
That's a lie.
That's not a lie. It's not a lie. Mm-hmm. It's not a lie. Mm-hmm. It happened, and so I don't think you should be too upset about the FU because it, and then your supporters that sit in the back of the room here, the night of the meeting of the annexation meeting, I was getting nothing but FUs, and the bird was being flipped to me all night long. So for that, and then to say that the girl sitting over here did it, you know, that was not true. But it definitely happened at the airport meeting where you screamed at Supervisor Paulding in front of the Coastal Commission, and so did April Dury, and she's the one who told FU to Supervisor Paulding, so let's just get that straight.
This is not relevant to the discussion at all.
I just wanted to make
some more critical comments,
yes,
didn't
I
you?
Did.
In the spirit of getting along?
That's
the hypocrisy.
The spirit of clearing the air about the facts and the truth that have you. So after that, then let's get along. Sorry, but that's the truth.
Okay. So all I want to say is that some of the comments that Director Austin and Director Gibson, Vice President Gibson stated, they do have some merit in that sometimes social media, I keep away from it because, you know, answering and posting things about the decisions here because it can take you down a rabbit hole. And I think it's best to, like, just use it, like, in a very neutral way, like, to put information out there
This is, you know, this is, because this is what I do. Just like, this is the agenda. This is going to be discussed. Please give your input and just leave it at that. None of your personal opinions and none of that on social media. Sometimes your opinions are very important, like to the Board of Supervisors and things like that. So then I think that's fine. And most of the time what I do is I say I'm speaking as a lifelong resident, not in any official capacity. And I think it's fine to also do the newspaper opinions and all that, because then, you know, you don't get back and forth. That's just my opinion. But I do want to hear from our council here, and also, do you have any comments, Director Sinison?
I don't use social media for any political agenda. I post my garden pictures and my grandchildren, and that's about it. I would like to say that, Director Austin, I did not appreciate you throwing my name tag.
You really want to bring that up when you stole my seat and moved my name tag? Don't even go there. Oh, my goodness.
No, I clearly came in and asked, do we have assigned seating? And was told no. And you got very aggressive. So if you want to talk about a hostile...
No, you were aggressive to me, Ms. Joyce Sinison.
Yes.
Okay.
Good Lord. I don't think this is appropriate.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is ridiculous. She came in and wouldn't get out of the seat.
Yes, but I don't think it's appropriate. She was...
Well, she's not appropriate. You tell her, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
She totally passed her aggression on me, and I stood up for myself,
period. So can we end this conversation?
Yep, throwing...
I didn't throw anything.
You threw my name tag across the room.
I did not.
All right, can we end this conversation now?
In terms of my opinion on this, you won't hear that from me. My position with this district is as counsel for this board, and it's for this district. It is not against any one of you, and I am not comfortable sitting in judgment of any one of you in particular. It doesn't... lend that kind of decision making from me doesn't lend itself to a cohesive relationship between me and any one of you individually, or more particularly and more importantly, me with the board as a whole. Okay. My job is to support this body and as all of you. It is not to sit in judgment of any one of you, particularly when it comes to internal violations of bylaws that you all adopted. The decision on whether or not one of you violated a bylaw is up to you.
So,
public comment.
Randall Samavit. I think that the members that are sitting here are still unclear. I shall read the bylaws. 5.1, directors shall at all time conduct themselves with courtesy to each other, to staff, and to members of the audience presented at board meetings. 5.2, differing viewpoints are healthy in discussion-making process. Individuals have the right to disagree with ideas and opinions, but in a respectful manner. 5.3, once the board takes actions, directors should commit to supporting
the actions and should not obstruct implementation of the action. 5-4, any vacancy of the office of a member elected on the board shall be filed pursuant to the Government Code, Section 1780.
Nicholas Pressure, Beach Street. Mr. Martin, do you know what the SIT is? Do you know what the Department of Justice is?
Yes.
The SIT is the team of the Justice Department in Sacramento that investigates these boards. There is plenty of information in that packet tonight that was given to us for you to file a report with the SIT. If you don't know how to do that, I come down to your office and help you do it, okay? We'll get all notarized, we'll send it up there to Sacramento, and then they'll come down here and see what the hell is going on, because what they don't like is people trying to overrun other people. And those people who are obviously committing some sort of aggression or aggression against the community who they're supposed to support and represent are not doing that. So they get reported to the SIT, and if you're not willing to do it, I certainly know how to do it myself, and I'm sure there's a couple of ladies up here that would sign it for me too. So I'm giving you the opportunity to stand up as the legal counsel for us to do something about him.
Like I first said, I've been here for 37 years. This isn't the first time I've heard this. And I quit coming here probably 15, 20 years ago because this is the same bull that went on then that is going on now. You know, you get two people in a room or you get three people in a room and you're going to have 27 different opinions and you're going to have 15 different ways of addressing and communicating with each other. So as much as I disagree with Mr. Varney and many things, you know, it's, don't we have better things to do? I mean, yes, he should not have criticized maybe so much or so vehemently, but why are we listening to this? If you have a serious, and I'm addressing this to Mrs. Gibson and Ms. Austin, if you have a serious problem with Mr. Varney, and first of all, what do you want this board to do? What do you want us to do as a community to Mr. Varney? I mean, should we flog him, or should he be run out of town, or just what? You know, there's just nothing of substance to this. And, you know, so if you really want something, I may be wrong, but can they take him to court for some reason or slander or something just like Trump went through? Now, it's just that this whole thing doesn't make sense. If anything, it would sort of be like this should have been held in closed session, and you could have addressed him and asked him to watch his language. Maybe he should go to a communications class. But you know, this, and I'll guarantee you, 5 years from now, I'll put up $100. 5 years from now, you're going to have somebody else that's going to have a disagreement with somebody else. Anybody want to take it up? The bet, you know, like I said, 37 years, and I've heard this go on.
Thank you. Any further public comment? Hi, my name is Gina, and I respect your opinion. I think that this is important, and it's been going on for a long time, and it is an embarrassment to Oceano.
You're supposed to be helping our community, and I feel like you're tearing it down. By the way that you treat your board is disrespectful and embarrassing, and I actually felt really sorry for you being the new president, the way that you were treated and talked about by Varney, the person that should be working with his team, just because you had your vote and your opinion, and it wasn't what he agreed with, doesn't give him the right to talk and treat other people with disrespect. It's obvious his personality, and it may not fit in this position, you know. It's an example of when he was presented with this issue or this feeling of other people, he was automatically turned it around and called it a witch hunt. So are you calling these people witches now? Like you called our community names? I mean, it's like it comes back and you turn it around and put it on the other person. But it's what you're doing, and you can't accept that. And it makes me really sad because it is a character flaw. And if you're in a position to be helping our community.
Is this really appropriate speech? I mean, can I just be,
but it's,
do
okay,
I just sit here quietly while
me,
I get attacked
it's my time.
Personally?
Excuse me, she gets.
No, you don't have the right to personally attack me here.
I'm not personally attacking
you. Yes,
you
are.
No.
It's all about me personally.
We're talking about you, and it's public comment. Was this not about the things that you said on social media?
You are not supposed to do that in public comment.
What do you mean?
You cannot address individual directors.
Okay. So I'm sorry. I was addressing what was brought to the public's attention.
Okay.
So I don't believe
he's feeling.
Yes.
Okay.
Addressed to the whole board.
Okay. So what was brought to our attention about what's going on is concerning to the community, I feel, because it's unprofessional. And, you know, I've been to many meetings with this person at meetings, and they've cussed at people. And I was personally sitting here when somebody brought up the fact that they were thinking about doing a vote to get this person off the board. And he was looking directly at me, and he's all, go ahead, like threatening me.
Okay. Thank you.
Bully. Thank you.
Any further public comment? No further public comment? Would you like time to respond?
I'd just like to respond that we just closed this, and I don't think there should be any action taken. I think it's all been said. Hopefully we can move on from this and have some productive meetings coming up in the future. I think it was necessary to bring it out, and now that it is, I think it's time to move on. So let's just consider it over.
Any further discussion? Okay. So next on our agenda, we have hearing items. I don't believe we have any. Received written communications. Late received written communications. Future agenda items that we would like
I have
to see.
I have some.
Go ahead.
Okay. Some of these are follow-ups. Have we written a thank you letter to Congressman Carbajal?
Not as a board. I did that personally, but we could do that as a board.
I would like to, I mean, I don't know that we need to agendize this, but if we need to, I'd like to, I'd like to discuss a thank you note to Congressman Carbajal. I'd like to have that agendized as a board topic at our next meeting. I'd like a follow-up. This was a few weeks ago, but we talked about the that we use Nextdoor as a public noticing site, and the boundaries of OCSD do not correspond with the community of Oceano on Nextdoor because it's they just have it goofy. And you were going to follow up on that.
Yeah, so I have an update. So as a government agency, we have a Nextdoor account, and anything we publish on Nextdoor is exactly our boundaries. So there is a map in Nextdoor that coincides to our service boundary. So anything we push out will go to that neighborhood. But as a government agency, we cannot respond to any comments.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And like you cannot, with your account, post things in our service area. So that's kind of how Nextdoor works. So certainly anything we post on Nextdoor goes to our service area.
Okay, well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Thank you. Okay. We agreed that we will have the budget on the agenda for our next meeting. And we agreed, and can we have the blight on PCH topic, which we agreed to put, we voted to put on the agenda, can that be on next week's, next meeting's agenda?
So we're going to have a budget item. We're going to have the two agreements for Five Cities Fire. So if you want to also we're going to have, that'll be open session. We'll also bring back our MOU with our union in open session on the 14th. So it's a pretty packed agenda on the 14th.
Okay, well then.
Perhaps the 28th? Yes, thank you.
Okay, that's fine by me. I mean, it's been there a long time. And then where are we with the general manager's performance review?
At this point, it's a do-over, I think. That's not a legal term, by the way.
Okay. So then I would like to agendize the annual performance review for the general manager.
Okay.
I'd like to move that, and we have agendized that.
So in with regard to that, you'll need a board majority to put that on the agenda. Last time we did it this is one of the things that Ms. Tacker was here for, probably valid criticism of me. It was put on the agenda as a discussion item because two members voted for it. To actually have the performance review or to start that process, there'll need to be a majority of the board that votes for that. So you can make the motion, but there'll have to be three to vote for it to occur.
Okay, so you're telling me now to make a motion to schedule a performance review for the general manager. And if that's seconded, then we will have a full vote of the board right now.
And then it will go on in a future agenda.
Wait. What do you mean it'll go on a future agenda? If we vote tonight, we're voting to do a performance review. That
yes.
doesn't have to go on the agenda.
No. Well, yes, it does, actually. Like a performance review, it usually is not
in
closed
well,
session.
Well, okay, in closed session, you mean.
But yeah, on a future agenda.
Okay. Not that we'll vote on it again.
No, you would say you're going to have a performance review of the general manager, and if you have three individuals that vote in favor of that, then it will go on a future agenda as a closed session item.
Okay. So in the spirit of working harmoniously together and being an effective body, I would like to make a motion that we schedule a performance review of the general manager.
I have a question real quick. How is it an annual when we had his last evaluation not that many months ago?
It would be another evaluation.
The
board can do it if it wants.
Okay, but it's not necessarily annual. If
you could call it something else. I mean, it doesn't have to be called annual.
Okay, I'm just curious.
So is it an annual? We did it in November.
Yes.
So it's been 6 months. So I just don't know why it's time to do one again. Why don't we do it? If it's an annual, we should do it when it's time for it annually, next November, around that time, somewhere in that area is what I think. I don't know what the reason.
Just a point of order. I proposed motion. I'm waiting for a second, but we're having discussion
discussion.
A second.
It's okay. They can discuss the item whether or not it goes on, okay. Whether or not they want to have one. So there is a motion pending. You know, if there is more discussion on it, you can continue to take discussion.
I'm not in favor of it.
We've got too many other pressing things. We can do it in the regular time, or you know, closer to the end of the year. Right now, we have too many other things, pressing things going on to take a.
Well, in my opinion, I know we just had a performance evaluation, but just in the spirit, as Director Varney was saying, of us working more effectively and efficiently, I do think that, you know, we have two new directors and they probably have concerns. I'm not sure.
Concerns about all the money we've been getting in grants from our general manager? Concerns about the great job he's doing?
I just would like an opportunity for us as a board to like sit down and discuss certain things. I don't think it would take too long.
Are you seconding it?
So, we're discussing.
Oh, okay.
Do you like to discuss?
I have nothing further to say.
No. So I'm done with my discussion and I'll second it.
Second? Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. So Director Varney?
Yes.
President Villa?
Yes.
Director Austin?
No.
Director Joyce Sennison?
Yes.
And Vice President Gibson?
No.
Thank you. I think it'll be a positive experience.
I move we adjourn. Any other discussion?
So, no closed session.
We're adjourned. Okay, thank you.
Did someone second? Sorry.
Oh,
yeah, that's the emotion.